Tonight is the fourth of this four-part series on Pirkei Tzaka in Sefer Tehillim. And I want to take a look tonight. We first three shiurim we looked at individual prakim. We looked at Tzadi Aleph, Moshe B'Seis Elyon. Then we looked at Tuf, Yam Hashem Yam Tzara. And then we looked last week at Yud Gimel, Ad Ana Hashem Tishkacheni Netzach. I want to focus tonight on a series. A series of 15 mizmorim. Shiri Hamalos, from Kuf Chaf to Kuf Mam Dalad. There are several different series of mizmorim in Tehillim. So in the Kabbalah Shabbat stands out in our mind as a series of mizmorim. The mizmorim of Hallel are a series of mizmorim, the Kuf Yuds, and the Hallelukas, the last five, or if you include Tehillel David, Ashrei, of the last six, all a very significant series. Shir HaMalos is particularly distinct. It's the longest series of mizmorim, and unlike the series of Kabbalah Shabbos prakim or the series of Hallel prakim, there's a common opening to all of them. Shir HaMalos, one Shir LaMalos. But then when you look at the prakim, you look at these 15 prakim. If you have a siddur in front of you, you can look at the end of Shabbos Mincha, you look in the Tehillim in the back, you look at the Shir HaMalos, I think there are two things that stand out as being very curious. One is that it's very hard to figure out what they have in common. These mizmorim are remarkably different from each other. Some are very happy, some are very pensive, some of them seem to be very personal. Some of them seem to be very national. It's hard to know what makes something, or what brings them together. And that brings us maybe to a more specific question, how do you translate that opening, that Shir HaMalos? Now the truth is that's a general problem that we've referenced in the past when you learn Tehillim. So many, many, many prakim, maybe most prakim in Tehillim, have some sort of title or opening at the beginning, L'hamnatzeach, Mizmor L'David, Maskil L'David, all sorts of Tefila La'ani. Some of those openers we can figure out more or less what Tefila La'ani means. L'hamnatzeach is a little more mysterious. Mizmor, hard to know what that means. Al Hashminis, Al Hagitis. A lot of the terminology that's used is in the openings of the prakim are mysterious. Shir HaMalos. A song of ascents. That's how you should translate it. What exactly are Shir HaMalos? So in terms of that, I think there are at least three major approaches in the Mefarshim. And exploring that specific question may give us insight into the larger question of what's the common denominator of all these prakim. So the Malbim, not the Malbim on Kuf Chaf, not the Malbim in his Perish on the first of the Shir HaMalos, but back in his introduction to Tehillim, he points out this problem of all these different terms, mysterious terms that are used in opening the prakim, and he suggests that it may well be that many of these are musical terms. Maybe they refer to specific musical instruments supposed to use, or some sort of musical instruction, faster, slower, higher, lower. And he says, the Malbim says, it's really hard to know at a distance of so many centuries how to translate these words. It means something, whatever it means, they knew what it meant, and we'll just be mistapek, we'll be happy with saying it's some sort of musical instruction. Just like when you play piano, you might not know exactly what adagio is, if your Italian's a little bit weak, but they have those instructions at the top, that faster, slower, with more heart, more staccato. So the Malbim says he has a long list of terms that he believes are musical, and he actually throws in HaMalos as one of those terms. If you look in Ibn Ezra here, he quotes Rasai Digon as saying, Shir HaMalos might mean that you're meant to raise your voice. I don't know if he means a higher volume or maybe a higher pitch. You imagine these were being sung sort of like floating above. So that's one approach. Maybe, and it could be that the way it's being sung is meant to evoke that feeling. Rashi Rashi quotes Rashi and several other Rishonim who follow him in a different approach, and it's based on a Mishnah in the last parak of Sukkah. The Mishnah mentions that there were 15 steps that went up from the Ezras Nashim up to the Ezras Yisrael, 15 semicircular steps, and the Mishnah says that they relate to these 15 Shir HaMaos. Shir HaMaos might mean the songs of the steps of the Madrigos. So the Mishnah there is talking about the Mishnah is describing the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and that's where a lot of the music of Simchas Beis HaShoeva was centered around those 15 semicircular steps. Rashi goes a step further, and he says, and what the Mishnah means is that they sang the Levim sang the Shir HaMaos on those steps. And the Rid, Rabbi Yishai Detrani, one of the Tanya Rishonim, see, quotes Rashi and goes a step further. He says, and when did they sing these songs on those steps? He says, this wasn't a daily occurrence. He says, we know what they sang every day, the Shir Shalom, what they sang every day. He says, these Shir HaMaos, this was special. They sang, the Levim sang these songs in the Beis HaMikdash at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. On these steps, at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. This was at the height we discussed just a couple weeks ago. The height of Simcha and Beis HaMikdash was the Simchas Beis HaShoeva over the course of Sukkot, and these songs were being used. And Meiri points out, even though it's David HaMelech is writing these songs before the Beis HaMikdash is built with any steps, but Pasuk in Divrei Hayam describes, and the Gemara references it, HaKol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Alai Hizkil. The David HaMelech reports that he had some sort of scroll, B'Nevuah, that contained the blueprints for the Beis HaMikdash before the Beis HaMikdash was built. They had already gotten the prophetic blueprints for Beis HaMikdash. So David never saw it. David didn't build it. David didn't see it in the flesh. But he already knew what it was meant to look like. The blueprint that would be acted upon by his son Shlomo. So he knew there were going to be these steps and composes these 15 shirim to be sung on those steps, and particularly as the Rid suggests, in the context of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So one approach, Shir HaMaos, is that it's some sort of musical instruction meant to be high, perhaps high in volume, high in pitch. Sam points out that was meant to evoke a certain sense of internal spiritual elevation. One approach to Shir HaMaos. The second approach to Shir HaMaos is that it speaks to the steps in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where the Levim were situated when they sang that these 15 shirim were written to be sung on those 15 steps, and perhaps specifically in the context of the elevated Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And then a third approach. The Radak makes the final suggestion, and the Sfarno seems to say something similar. The Radak begins by quoting Rashi, but that has to do with the steps. But then it goes on to say maybe it's not about physical elevation, nor is it about vocal elevation, but it's about Aliyah. These are songs of Aliyah. Radak suggests that these were songs that when they returned from Gullus, this is what the Olim from Gullus sang. And he says, and that's why over the course of these Shirim, so you find different themes. Some of these Shirim describe the Tsaros of Gullus, and some of these Shirim describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise of Geula, and some of these Shirim describe the human yearning for Geula. All those different themes fit in here because the Jews returning from Gullus used these Shirim to give expression to how they felt at the moment, and in retrospect, thinking back to where they had been and how they had felt. And it's interesting, the Gemara mentioned that the Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph, references the Shir HaMaos corresponding to the 15 steps. The Gemara, Tublat Leir, Daf Nun Gimel, quotes an interesting agada that David HaMelech, the Gemara suggests, may have composed these Shirim when they were built, they were laying the groundwork literally for the Beis HaMikdash, and they began to dig the spaces where there would ultimately be the holes that would line up with the Mizbeach, where they would pour the wine and the water. And the Gemara says that there was some sort of flooding that went on, ground war started coming up, and then they got the ground war to go down very, very deep, and they had to bring the ground water back up close to the surface so that it could be used. And David composed the 15 Shir HaMalos, and each of the Shir HaMalos brought the water up another, 1,000 Amos. So it's hard to know exactly what the deeper meaning of that Agada is. There are definitely different ways of thinking about it. But I wonder whether perhaps it reflects what the Radak was saying, that these are Shirim of returning to where you're supposed to be, rising back up, the water rising back up to where it's supposed to be so that water could function effectively and give life. And it's the Jewish people returning back up to Eretz Yisrael. And I was thinking, so again, three different approaches to overall approaches to Shir HaMalos, whether it's a reference to the vocal elevation to be sung higher, or the steps in Mikdash, or the return, the Aliyah of the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. They may all be true. They could all coexist simultaneously. It may well be that they sang it high and they sang it on these steps and reflected. This had originally been meant for the Jews coming back from Galus. And that comment of the Radak, that it's the Jews coming back from Galus, so I think that speaks to the larger question. We said before the more specific question is how you translate Malus, but the larger question is, what does it all have to do with each other? And the answer is they are the fullness, the kaleidoscope of the experiences of the Jews coming back to Eretz Israel. Some of these are some of these mizmorim are full, chock full of the simcha of geula. So you think about the kuf chavav, shuv Hashem es shiva sina hinik kachalman, and somewhat less famous, but extraordinarily powerful, is kuf chav beis, the third of the Shir HaMalos. Samachti ba'omrim li beis Hashem neilech. Omdos ha Yerushalayim. Ragleinu b'sharayich Yerushalayim. Thrilled to hear we're going to beis Hashem. Our feet are standing in the Shari Yerushalayim. And Feivel Meltzer, in his radio shiur, he remembers listening to Kol Yisrael radio in 1967. And all of a sudden, Moshe Chovav gets on the radio and announces that our troops are back in the old city of Yerushalayim. And Feivel Meltzer says, and then he began to recite on Kol Yisrael radio. Began to recite Kuf Chav Beis. Samachti ba'omer li beis Hashem neilech om dos ha Yerushalayim ha yiragleinu b'sharayich Yerushalayim. These are extraordinarily overwhelming. And at the end as well, the last several mizmorim are extraordinary joy of geula. And at the same time, we have, we often, when we think of Shir HaMalos, we more frequently think of the Shir HaMalos that we say that reflect the Tzar of Golos. You should know, by the way, that when you think about different Mizmori Tehillim that we say, certainly the most common Mizmori Tehillim that we recite in davening for a Tzara are Kuf Chaf Aleph and Kuf Lamed, Shir HaMalos Esa Enai, and Shir HaMalos Nima Makim. It's interesting, you think about where Minhagim come from and how old Minhagim are. That's a very, very, very ancient minhag. To choose specifically those two Mizmorim to say Be'ez Sarah out of all the Mizmorim of Tehillim, many of which could be used as a Tefillah Be'ez Sarah, so it goes back at least to the days of the Ba'ez Sheni. It goes back at least to the days of the Tanan, because the Mishnah in the second parak of Tanis in Daf Tezvav and Be'ez describes what you do when there's a tzara in Eretz Yisrael, specifically when there's no rain, and the rounds of davening and of fasting, at first the tzaddikim fast, and then as it gets if it gets deeper into the season, there's still no rain. Ultimately, the entire Jewish population needs to fast Bahab Monday, Thursday, Monday. And the Mishnah is described in the second parak what happened over the course of a Tanis. It wasn't just about fasting. The Mishnah actually says that the official Musar Shmuz, that was meant to be given, the official drush was meant to be given on the Tainus, was about exactly that point. You see in Yonah, you see in Yoel, that's not just about the fasting. The fasting is a vehicle to get you to do tshuva. Ayara doesn't say, Ayara kimes sakim is tanisam, say, Ayara kimes maaseim, the third chapter of Yonah. Kodesh Baruch Hu sees that they were making change. They were really planning for how they were going to act differently tomorrow. And the Mishnah goes on to describe the sort of davening, the special Shmona Esrei, that you daven on such a tanis. The Mishnah says you add an additional at least six brachos to the Shmoneh Esrei. And the three of those brachos are built around Kufchaf, Kufchaf Aleph, and Kuflamet. The first of the Shir Malos, which is somewhat less familiar to us. We'll take a look at that in a moment. And then Esa Kufchaf Aleph is Esa Inei Al Harim, and Kuflamet is Mima Makim. It's fascinating that these are central Mizmoritim that we come to when we need to pull at all the stops for davening. It goes back to a Mishnah. Now the truth is, we're going to pivot to looking at each of those Mizmorim for a bit to hopefully deepen our Hizbonus and our appreciation. But just one last sort of general comment before we begin to spend a couple of moments on Kufchaf and then spend a couple of minutes each on Kufchaf Aleph and Kuflamid. There's one last sort of larger perspective. Now that we've appreciated a little bit of what the Shirei HaMalos are about as a whole, it's very, very rich. And they're varied exactly because as Radak put it, and the Sforno puts it, this is the Jews coming back, the Olim, those who are making Aliyah back there to Israel at the end of Gala. So they have all these different, the whole kaleidoscope of feelings and thoughts and memories reflected across the Migvan, the diversity of these Mizmorim. So the fact that Klal Yisrael's go-to prakim, based Tzara, are the tfilos from within this group in particular, so they are very, very powerful. But it's Tzaaka within the context of, within a framework of Geula. Because these were Pirkei Tzaaka that the Jews said, remember when we felt like this. Remember when we were in the depths and we called out to you, Baruch Hashem? And this is what they, it sounds like this is the Olim, the Nigalim are saying, we remember back when we used to say this in real time, but it's being recorded in Tilim as what the Jews coming back to Eretz Yisrael remembered that they used to have to say in Galus. So it's Tzara and Sa'aka within the context of Geula. So it itself is a blend. We mentioned last week at the end of Paragraph Gimel, Yageli bi b'shua secha. Ani b'chastecha b'tach yageli bi b'shua secha. Ashir el Hashem ki gomal alay. That very, very positive end to an overall very dark mizmar, Adonot Shishkacheni netach, and Harab Chaim comments that to sing halal, shira, ashir el Hashem, that's only ki gomal alay, once the Geula has already arrived. But even beforehand, even Be'est Tzara, there is an inner gila, not expressed externally as halal, but there's an inner serenity that comes from knowing that b'chastecha b'tachti, that the more I strengthen my sense of bitachon Rebbeinu Shlom, the more even when the future is very uncertain, I have a serenity and even an element of inner gila. And that blend of looking at Tzara straight in the eye, and with Tzaka, and with the type of Shir HaMalos that we usually think of when we say Shir HaMalos, but Shir HaMalos means it's an elevated. It's an elevated bakasha. It's an elevated tzak, an elevated by the optimism of knowing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care. And knowing that right now I'm in a very, very difficult moment within a much larger story. And that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is caring for me in ways I don't fully appreciate. So there's sort of like that interesting balance. We're saying tfilos that are recorded to him as Jews having undergone geula, remember when we used to daven with this. So it's a rich mix. Yeah. What are you saying?
Yeah. It fits along the lines of, you know, what they were saying on the way back up to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you expect there to be kind of a seder to it, like that kind of a maskelbinus and sign of
Shabbat? Yeah, that's a good question. I have thought about that. I don't have a great answer. I'd love to think about that more. It goes back and it zigzags between Geul Tzara and Geul and Tzara and Geula. It needs to be thought about. I'm not 100% sure. One thing
that's prophetic in itself.
What?
Uh-huh. That's prophetic on some level in itself, but there's going to be
That's interesting. Over the course of Jewish history, it's going to be highs and lows, and we end ultimately with a high. That's an interesting point. And it may even be, that's a very nice take, that it sort of captures Jewish history. And another way of looking at it is even in one moment, is it is in one person's experience. So as I think back, we're going to think back and we're going to be hit by different memories. And the memories might not come in a linear fashion. When you think back to an experience, so sort of different pieces hit you at different times. Yeah, and there may be more. It's interesting, the Mishnah and Tanis also, in talking about how each of those three mizmorim of the Shir HaMaalos, Kuvchav, Kuvchav Alf, Kuv Lamed, the way in which you build it into a bracha, you say that parak that's also sort of fitted with the apparatus of a Baruch Ata Hashem at the end, and it's part of the nusach habracha that surrounds sort of the setting for the jewel of the mizmar is the setting is the nusach habracha. Part of that setting, part of the nusach habracha that Chazal wrote, relate each of these mizmorim to a particular figure in Tanakh. The way the Mishnah presents is mima makim, and when you say it on a tainis, you relate it to Yonah. Yonah ben Mehadaga, he is bima makim, he is in the depths. He lives in the depths. Kuf Chaf Aleph, Shila Maos Esa Enei El Harim, is related to Eliyahu Bahar Karma. He was on the mountaintop, and he was seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll come back to that in a moment. And Kuf Chaf, that we'll take a look at in a moment, the very first of the Shir HaMaalos, calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Batzarasa Li Karasi Vaya Aneini, so the Mishnah says that relates to Shmuel. Nishan l'Shmuel by mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu responded to Shmuel at mitzvah. And mitzvah, that was a moment where they had already retrieved the Aron. You remember when Shmuel was a little boy, the Aron had been captured by the Plishtim at the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel. Eli was his ancient Rebbe, the ancient Kohen Gadol. And at the end of Eli's life, the Plishtim captured the Aron. And Shmuel, deep into Sefer Shmuel, they retrieve the Aron. And then the Plishtim, and then they begin to sing Takarish Baruch Hu. Then the Plishtim come. The Plishtim here, and the Plishtim are not giving up without a fight. And Shmuel, and the Jews are scared, and Shmuel rallies Klal Yisrael, and they fight and they rebuff the Plishtim. So that's the context that we give, that story of Shmuel at Mitzvah. They already have the Aron back, and then the attack by the Plishtim, and to successfully militarily push back against the Plishtim, it's that moment that we relate to the first Mizmor. And now with that in mind, let's begin to look at the Mizmor in particular. Let's pivot from the general to the specific. I want to spend more time on Kuf Chaf Aleph and Kuf Lamed, the ones that we say the most, but I would one point about Kuf or a pair of points. If you look through Kuf Chaf, which is not familiar to us as perhaps it ought to be, it's Batzarak Batzarasa Li Karasi Vayaneni. I called HaKadosh Baruch when I was a Be'ez Tzara, and he responded to me. And what is the tefillah that I said was the dominant theme? Hatzil Nafshi Misfas Shaker Milashon Ramiya. There are people who are lying. There are people who are making up falsehoods. And again, about the Lashon Ramiya, why are you doing that? Why are you lying about me? We talk about how these sharpened, sounds almost as though we're saying that they were being attacked by the arrows and by the cold, the heat of the coals, but that may also be a reference to the sharpened tongues. As a matter of fact, Gemara sees in this pasuk a reflection of the fact that Lashon Hara can kill at a distance. It's a parak all about Lashon Hara. Interesting. And I live with these other nations. Rabbi Shachnal Nafshim Sone Shalom. Ani Shalom V'chiyad Dabrahim L'chama. I'm trying to talk peace, but they're coming at me with war. But the war that's reflected in this parak is largely a war of words. And if you think about how the prakim correspond to the stories, the three episodes in Tanakh, the Yonah, Eliyahu, and Shmuel, of those three episodes, so Yonah is a is a personal tzara. Eliyahu is national story, but it's a national spiritual crisis. That's what's going on in Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu is trying to bring the Jews back from the Avodah Zarah of Baal to the worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kufchaf, this parak is the one that corresponds to Shmuel. That's the one that talks about physical, national, military encounter. And it's a military encounter that's surprisingly familiar. It's at a time they're already beginning to see the wheels of Geula turning. They've retrieved, after all these years, when they thought they were at the lowest of the low, they didn't even have their Aron anymore. The Aron is back, and things are moving in a positive direction. And we know they ended with 20/20 hindsight. Things are going to continue to move at that point in an incredibly positive direction towards David HaMelech, towards Shlomo, towards Binyan Beis HaMikdash. They have the Aron back, and this is the first step towards Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Aron comes back, and the wheels of Geula are turning, and then they're attacked by the Moavim, by the Plishtim, rather. And they're, at that moment, not sure what's going to be. And that's that moment on Mitzvah of war. War with enemy neighbors. War when Geula, the wheels of Geula have already begun to turn, but there's incredible uncertainty. That's the moment that's captured by this Mizmar Kuf Chaf. And Halo Davarhu, that Mizmar Kuf Chaf highlights specifically not the war of guns and knives and missiles as much as the war of propaganda. So it's very, very striking. Very, very, very powerful parak. To daven with Bechlau and to daven with now Befrat. And let's turn our attention to Kuf Chaf Aleph, which is a parak that is very familiar to us, has been familiar to us for years and years and years. But let's look at it with an analytic eye. And I think two things probably stand out. Shir Lamalos, Esa Ein Al Harim. I lift my eyes to the mountains. May I Yavar Ezri, from where does my help come? Ezri Mi'em Hashem, the answer is, my help comes from Ribbono Shel Olam, Oseh Shamayim Va'aretz, who makes heaven and earth. So far, who's doing the talking? The Jew who's davening. The Jew who's davening. The Jew who's in need is talking. He's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then all of a sudden, Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha, Al Yonum Shomrecha. All of a sudden, someone's talking to this Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to let you slip. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're Shomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards you. He's not going to fall asleep. And again, Hinelo Yonum V'lo Yishon Shomer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sleep. He guards the Jewish people. Hashem Shomrecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards you. Hashem Tzilcha Yamanecha. He's your shadow on your side. And the entire rest of the Perek is all talking to, second person, talking to the person who was speaking before. It's interesting. And we've seen that in other prakim, that change of from first person to second person, change of voice. The other thing that's very, very striking, I mean, it's probably sort of intuitive when we say it, but if you look at it and you learn it, you notice there's a tremendous amount of repetition, a tremendous number of pairs, a tremendous amount of repetition. Me'ayin yavo ezri, ezri me'ashem. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yonum shamrecha. Hine lo yonum, v'lo yishan. Hashem shamrecha, Hashem tzilcha. He's your guard and he's your shadow. Yom Hashem shalakecha, reyach b'alela. You won't be hit by the sun, you won't be hit by the moon. Hashem yishmarcha mikara, yishmaras nafshecha. That sounds like almost just direct, superfluous repetition. Hashem yishar tzeischa uvolecha, me'atav yadalam. What are we meant to make of this? I'm sorry? And the La Malos. And the La Malos.
That was my question.
The La Malos.
All the other ones are Ha Malos.
Yeah. So the La Malos might, I'm not sure. I think multiple Mefarshim either directly say we're not sure why there's a difference, or just say it's the same thing. It definitely gives you more of a sense of towards, which is captured in the first pasuk. Yeah, you have such a visual, and if you've been in and around Yerushalayim, more than one of these Shiri Hamalos refer to the geography in and around Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Harim Savavla. Here you may, Esai and El Harim, if you've been in that area, there are a lot of mountains. And David HaMelech is looking up at the mountains. Yavo Ezri. So the Malbim addresses all these pairs. very, very elegantly. And he says, I look, I'm looking around, looking to mountains. Where is my help going to come? The mountains are tall, the mountains are big, the mountains are powerful. And the answer is, Ezrim Hashem, Oseh Shemayim V'aretz. Help doesn't come from the mountains. Help doesn't come. Ultimately, the help comes from nothing physical. Ultimately, help comes no matter how big and strong it looks. Help comes from Ribono Shel. And specifically, he's described here as being Oseh Shemayim V'aretz. The Malbim suggests that pair, Oseh Shemayim V'aretz, refers to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs Teva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs Nisim. Teva, Nisim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Shamayim. The supernatural from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the natural is also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Could it be that it's Shir Lamalo, to the person who's going up the steps, it's as if the steps of the Beis HaMikdash themselves are inspiring the person.
Interesting. He's speaking to the steps. That could be. That could be, yeah. I'm still not sure why. You would then have to figure out, so why is this one as opposed to the other 14? I'm sorry? La malos is leha malos. Two steps would be le malos, and two the steps would be la malos. When you have le David, which is a phrase you have very frequently in openings of Prakim, so some of the Farshim point that Lid David could either mean by David or it could be about David. And they're probably different means more, I mean, different contexts, it means different things. Yes, that's a good point. The La Malos is sort of like Lid David, not that the Malos wrote the, but that it's about. It's about the Malos. That's definitely possible. Yes, and then you'd want to, the next step we have to figure out, so what about this Mizmor is specifically like that? That I'm not sure. And coming back to the Piz, so here we were at, so the pivot from Pasuk Beis to Pasuk Gimel, where all of a sudden the Malbim describes it as Mitzayer Sheshomea Kol Omer Lov. Now he's describing as though now he hears a voice speaking to him. And the voice speaking to him, that device, begins to teach him. We saw that in Sadi Aleph, where Sam has suggested, also it's like a Rebbe Talmud, there's a conversation. The Rebbe Talmud, he hears a voice above him, says that's speaking to him about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me tell you more. You noticed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's ultimately running the show, and he's running the natural show and the supernatural show. Let me tell you some more. Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha, let me tell you how broadly HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmir is. And the Baruch suggests the entire rest of the parak is focused on that one theme. How broad is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmir? Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha, Al Yonim Shomrecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let you slip, nor will your guard fall asleep. So that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of you internally, as well as being Shomer in terms of external dangers. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of on two zones, on two fronts, protecting you within and protecting you without. And to what degree does he protect you? Al Yonim, Lo Yonim V'lo Yisham. He won't fall deeply asleep, like we said in the last pasuk. And now we're adding, he won't even doze off. Basar Adam, a human being will sooner or later doze off. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no loss of focus on his part ever. And then we say, Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem Tzilcha, he's your guard and he's also your shade. So now we're turning again to start to pull the threads together. Because to be your shade, you know, to be your guard, that sounds like it's someone else on planet Earth and he's guarding you from the side. To be your shadow, to be your shade, means you're protecting you. What shade is, it blocks the sun. So going back to the opening, what the Meshorer himself had said, he recognized that Hashem is Oseh Shamayim V'aretz, Kadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you on both ends. Kadosh Baruch Hu is protecting you from down below and from up above. And that Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection is complete. And we go on to say, on the one hand, on the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can protect me from the heat and from the cold. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can protect me from the Shiyom HaShemesh HaKekev or Erech Balayla. And then finally, the last few psukim talk about take this to the next level. Hashem Yishmorcha Mikavah Yishmoros Nafshecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards you, and it sounds like total repetition. But it's not. Because the first one, the second one is the Shmiros HaNefesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu will guard your body. Kadosh Baruch Hu will guard your soul and your emotions and your mind and your psyche. And when and where Hashem Yishmor Tzeischa V'Oecha Mi'atal V'Yarolam, Kadosh Baruch Hu watches you everywhere and at all times. Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shmira is absolutely unbounded. That is the overwhelming theme of Kuf Chaf Aleph. And that's what all the pairs, the Malbim says, are meant to play this out. That Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shmira is every which way, at all times, at all places. My body, my soul, natural dangers, supernatural dangers, external issues, internal issues. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is profoundly aware, not only lo yanum, but lo yishan, absolutely, positively. The pairs all serve to expand the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coverage. And then finally, let's turn our attention, in the minutes that remain, to Mima Makin. Mima Makin, like we said before, Mima Makin is in a certain sense even more personal, because the Mishnah relates it not to the national story of Eliyahu, like Kuf Chaf Aleph, but to the personal story of Yonah. And you get to watch in Yonah his transformation, and you get to hear him in Perek Beis, the Perek that we often don't focus on, the poetry. You get to hear him changing internally and going through a process of recognizing and doing tshuva. There's so many degrees of tshuva in Yonah. There's the tshuva of the people of Nineveh, there's the tshuva of the sailors, and there's the tshuva of Yonah himself, the Mehadagam. So this, if Kuf Chaf Aleph, if Shir Lama Alos Esayne El Harim was really a focus on Hanhagas Habore, it was a focus on what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of me? Right? The human being is really passive in Kuf Chaf Aleph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guarding me from here, from there. He's protecting me and blocking things every which way at all times, all places. It's all about Shmiras Hashem. Hashem Shamrecha. Kuf Lamed is not only focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business, it's also focused on our business. Because Kuf Lamed is really all about tshuva. Not about just my being passively nishmar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Shema b'karsi, mi'akim karsicha Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I called you from the depths. And why the depths? And the Malbim suggests maybe because sometimes I even feel deep in a pinch, in a bad place physically, and sometimes maybe physically everything is fine, but there's still a spiritual gap. I feel deep spiritually. I need tshuva. And he says, the Pasuk Bey says, I'm davening, and Pasuk Gimel says, I'm doing tshuva. Not enough just to daven. Hashem Shema Bekoli, Tinezach Kashul Kol Tachanunai, in Pasuk Bey, I'm davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu, with Trina and with Kol. But it goes to the next level, like we said before, that is the message of Yonah that the Mishnah records. That very same Mishnah, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just see the sock and the tainus and the davening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the meisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the real commitment to change, and that's in Pasuk Gimel. We move from just tefila to adding tshuva, and I begin to talk, and that's really the bulk of the parak. The next couple of psukim certainly. As we talk about tshuva, im avonos tishmarya, Hashem yamod. If my averus are getting in the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're going to hold on to averus, you're not willing to let go of averus, no one's going to last. And that's a critical point. Tshuva is baked in, and that's how the Malbim understands pasuk dal. Ki imcha, the mysterious pasuk. Ki imcha slicha leman tivarei. Slicha is with you, leman tivarei, so that you will be feared. Right? We said that pasuk hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Hey, translate it. So the Malbim says Gevaldik. He says Imcha Haslicha. Human beings can also be mochel, but human being is mochel usually because of the offender did something. The offender said, "I'm sorry." The offender is making change. You know, the offender did something that will evoke a response of mechila on the part of the aggrieved party. When it's a human being who is aggrieved. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with you, the slicha comes not really comes from you. What does that mean? We have to do tshuva. But on the other hand, the Malbim points out, I think this is where he's driving at, he doesn't express it exactly this way. HaKadosh, the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about things that were created before the world was created. One of them is tshuva. What do you mean tshuva was created before the world was created? Tshuva is a response to chet. Tshuva exists before the world. But that probably means a different way of understanding it. But probably the simple way of understanding that is that the world from the outset, the original design of the world required, tshuva was baked in. The world needs tshuva to work because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create a universe in which we are in an Olam HaNisayon and we make lots of mistakes. We do lots of things wrong. Ein Tzag Bar Chiyasatov Alechta, Kohelis tells us. We all do Averis. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu could hold us, meet us at din, and you do Averis. God gave you life and you misused it. Now why you deserve to continue? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu baked in and meet us HaRachman because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to succeed. And given that by the design of the world is very easy to make mistakes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu baked tshuva into the original DNA, the blueprint of the world. That's probably the simple meaning of what the Gemara means, that tshuva is one of those things that was created before the world was created. So that's what the Malbim says. Ki imcha aslicha. When it comes to you, the slicha ultimately comes from you. Yes, I try to do tshuva. Yes, I'm going to be misvada, be mischaret, and make a kabbalah tomorrow be different. But at its core, tshuva still doesn't make sense. It still doesn't. How does slicha make sense? But I did something wrong. Kadosh Baruch Hu erases it. Yeah. Because you, Rabbi Shlomo, you yourself decided that that's the way you're designing the world. It's going to be challenging. We have men in the Sionos. We're going to make mistakes. And you built in Meirosh that you're going to be mochelos. A human being might not be so willing to be mochel because he wants to maintain a certain deterrence. He wants to maintain a certain people should be intimidated by him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our relationship with you isn't one of pachad. It's one of yira. It's not primarily about, well, we're scared. If we do the wrong, we cross you, we get in trouble. It's much more than that. It's yira sabromos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is awesome. And the awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu generates a yira. Leman tivarei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our yira is enhanced by the fact that you're mochel on a regular basis. A yira is enhanced in order for us to lead lives of productive yira shamayim, there needs to be mechila. There needs to be mechila. Nafshi l'Hashem, mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. I've wondered for so many years what that pasuk means. I looked at the Malbim. It says something extraordinary. That I yearn for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm certain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than those who are shomrim laboker. A person waits. If I wait for another person, so sometimes people don't come through. Sometimes people aren't on time. But if I'm waiting for sunrise, I'm waiting for poker, that's always going to come. And it's always going to be on schedule. But when I look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant me mechila, and therefore to grant me a better situation, it's even more than shomrim laboker. Even more certainty than waiting for the morning. It's for sure, the sun is always going to rise in the east, and it's always going to be on schedule. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu could be ahead of schedule, because Yachel Yisrael Hashem, ki Hashem Achesser, Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to bring Geula in advance. Be'itach Yishana, the Gemara says, based on Pasuk Yishaya, Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to, doesn't have to be on schedule. There's a time when Mashiach is going to come, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to bring it sooner. For who Yiftei Yisrael Mikal V'Nosav, if we reach out and if we're Zoche and if we put in our work, Kadosh Baruch Hu is ready to be goel us even more quickly. It's as certain, it's even more than with the certainty that we look forward to the sun rising in the east, is it's certainly and maybe even more quickly will geula come. So we have a recognition of these three prakim of the reality of war and the reality of the war of words as well as a war of weapons. And we have in Kuf Chaf Aleph, a recognition of the profundity and the breadth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, comprehensiveness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shmira that he offers us. And in Kuf Lamed, there's a motion towards we're not only passive recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness, which we are, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks to us to be active participants in crafting and raising ourselves, in ma'alos, and bring ourselves back up through the power of tshuva, which a gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, a gift that is baked into the world, and a certainty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back more certain than that the sun will rise tomorrow, and it may come yet more quickly, and that is in our hands. Thank you so much.
Thank you.